السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International, the Saturday morning, the 12th of December. Subhanallah. Brings us very close to the end of another year as well. And it is a beautiful, beautiful, alhamdulillah. I'm going to say that again because the last whole week we had some scorching heat, especially in the Johannesburg area. And last night, from I think it was about 7, 8 o'clock, we had some good rain, alhamdulillah. With us in the studio this morning, we have Adil. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I suggest to all our wonderful listeners.
How are you doing, Adil?
Alhamdulillah, like you say, very, very good weather, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
You know, we always welcome any form of rain that comes. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us beneficial rain.
Ameen, ameen, inshallah.
I believe all over the country seems to be doing quite well in terms of rain. The guys in Durban, last week we were speaking to Farad, and he was saying that quite a lot of the rivers have already started flowing in. I've been checking some of the social media sites, like the Mfulozi River, which is in KwaZulu-Natal, south. North, in St. Lucia area. Also, you know, the Mfulozi has come down into the sea. Although everything is going to be chocolate brown for a while because of the rivers flowing into the sea.
To settle, yeah.
Yeah. But
mind you, I was in Newcastle last week, last weekend, I was going out for the program. And when I was speaking to the people, that said the rain day is not as good. You know, when you're driving from here on the highway and you're still passing, when you're still in the Vaal area, and you're still passing some of those puddles, as you're passing those small dams on the side of the road, or those farm dams, or whatever, you see water. Once you get into those areas, all those areas that you're passing, they're also very dry.
Is it?
Very dry, very dry, very dry.
So, I suppose we just have to monitor the situation and see exactly what's happening.
That's the thing.
Many at
Cape Town, also somebody told me it's raining very good, they said as well.
Many at times what happens is you don't get the rain falling here, but you do get rain falling elsewhere, and then the rivers are filling up and flowing into the dams, etc. So,
which is the most important
that's
thing.
That's the
more
the important
areas, yeah.
I was saying that, you know, with the brown water in the sea, it brings a whole different type of fishing. Many of the guys that are seasoned anglers, sea anglers or shore anglers, they will then target species like the salmon and a lot of ray species as well, you know, the skate, etc. And some of the big guys that go for shark, they would also target water. So that murky, dirty sort of water is associated with different species of fish as well.
Yeah, so every condition you can still go fishing.
Basically,
shouldn't be. No, but in generally in your dams, on the other hand, I think perhaps later in the program, if Luqman is on, he'll be able to tell us a bit more about that. But generally, when your waters are a bit dirty and murky in the dams, then it's generally your barbel that are biting as well. You're not going to really target other species in a hurry, or they become a bit more finicky in terms of biting. But that's where your catfish.
The catfish specialists will go out and do that.
100%. That's what happened then.
So what's your plans?
Okay, before we talk of anything, Osama is saying we needed a break already. So let's go for the break quickly, inshallah. When we come back, hopefully for today, like we spoke earlier on, we want to get some callers. We want to get people to phone us in. Tell us what's happening in their lives. Tell us what's happening. We don't want to get your personal life.
Yeah, no, just be careful what you say on air.
But tell us exactly in terms of
tell
where you're going. What I mean, it's now going full holidays next week, Wednesday, I think it is 16th, again, another public holiday. So even for those people that are perhaps already on leave, by next week, Wednesday, you've got more people going on leave. You've got more people that will be off again. So people must be having something up their sleeves coming Wednesday, coming the weekend, this weekend. Okay, I for one was thinking of going this weekend somewhere, but now on the other hand, then you've seen the weather. First, I actually said it's going to be too hot to go out to the dam and spend the day. Mm-hmm. And now, alhamdulillah, we have some good excellent rain. So that doesn't mean I'm still not going out. Eh?
But if you were targeting your karpa species, then you need that hot weather.
That's it. But yeah, I thought now for this weekend, yeah, maybe we can think about the 16th December, you know, like you say, that public holiday, which is still available. So let's see what happens in the week. But that's what we want our listeners to do. Call us, tell us what plans you have, where you intend going. Or perhaps already, those people that are on leave, like the teachers in school, like Sir Arif, if they've been out already, then they can tell us where to, what happened, which places. Or maybe last year's incident, share with us, where were you in December last year?
Mm.
Whilst you were on holiday, what fishing you done, where you went, what sort of outdoor lives you had. So after the break, inshallah, we'll await those calls, 011-854-1548. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. It is the program known as Creaming Reels, every Saturday morning between 8 and 9. And we spoke earlier on, just before the break, we said that we would like our listeners to share with us their experiences, or perhaps where they intend going for the holiday period. Yes, many people are going to probably be going out, whether it's to Durban with the family, whether it's to any other place, wherever it might be. But at the end of the day, surely the place where you're going to is going to perhaps have a small river, small stream. You can do some sort of fishing, outdoor, whatever it may be, we want our listeners to inform us and tell us about their intentions. Alternatively, you tell us about last year, perhaps, like we said, last year it was the month of December, perhaps you were going out with the family to a certain area, and you done fishing in that area there. Last week I told you, Adil, I was there in Newcastle for a program, and the place we stayed at, there was a stream running through. And they said to me that there's some lovely yellow there to catch. There's some lovely yellow to catch. But unfortunately, by the time I left from here and we got there to Newcastle and had supper and things like that, and got to the area, it was quite late. And the next morning, early morning, of course, we had to then be out for the program and things like that. So I couldn't really fish. But I was actually looking forward to it. Besides that, in the kitchen area of this place, I saw they had mounted a lovely, to me it looked nicely, 3.5 kilo stuffed bass that was there as well.
Okay, so where did that come from?
So I don't know where that came from. There was nothing written there, and I couldn't get hold of the owner then a bit late in the day to actually ask him that question where that came from. But
unless he caught it in Zimbabwe or something, and then
he stuffed it down the side. Yeah. Plus he said he had the hook in the mouth, like,
oh,
you know,
okay,
with the lure that was still sticking out of the mouth. And he said it looked quite real. And another thing I found, that generally, I don't know if you noticed, nowadays you don't need the fish to actually stuff it. Actually don't need the fish.
Just a photo.
Yeah, just a photo of it is fine.
And they use the fiberglass system to do it.
Yeah, but this one, I saw the original fish itself.
So it is very, very rare that you actually get some of those. I think I was in Swally's, in Boyson's, and then you see there's a few of them.
Yes.
That they've got mounted up on the walls there. That's the trophies, yeah. But we've got Luqman online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Luqman.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Ali? And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and the listeners as well.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. We were talking about trophy fish there. How many trophy fish you have by you, Luqman?
In a shop, probably about 10 or so. 10.
No, we want to know how many belongs to you.
Oh, to me? No, we're still in a small league. We haven't reached the Premier League.
Luqman, some good rain, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, it's definitely a lot of shukr to Allah for blessing us with this wonderful rain we had last night.
Alhamdulillah.
Luqman, getting back to obviously what it is that we discuss every weekend, before we go into your fishing report, etc., we've been getting some inquiries also back to yellow fishing again. And last week we spoke about, you know, when you're talking about the fly fishing, and we discussed that, I think you call it a strike indicator as well. Now, I've got one guy that sent in a question that wants to know if you can use a fly with a normal rod. And if you can, how do you cast it out because of the fly being so light?
You can use it. What you need to first of all use is a light action rod. Anything from 5'6" up to 7 foot, or even 8 foot for that matter, but it must be a light action. That will make it easier for you to cast a fly, but you're not casting the fly on its own.
Mm.
What you need to do is weight it with split shot, So you put split shot at the bottom and then or above the flight. It's purely a personal preference where you want your split shot. So just weighting it towards split shot using a light action rod or light line, not more. I wouldn't go more than 10-pound line. That would make it a lot easier for. And in any case, with, if you're getting into the stream and we specifically talking about the Vaal River system, once you're in the stream, you're not actually casting very far because you are amongst the fish already. So it's probably at the most, you'll probably look at maybe a 10-meter cast or 15-meter at the most. But the only way to weight it is with split shot.
Lukman, do you sort of like release the line when you're in the stream now?
You'd be fishing very similar to how you fish with a fly rod, only this is that. So you would cast upstream, you're standing in the stream with the water flowing towards you, okay. And you'd obviously cast in preferably next to rocks or in little pools or channel, and let the line drift away, downstream. And it's very similar to what the fly fishermen do. So it's exactly the same technique, you're just using a conventional fly rod, conventional rod and reel instead of the fly rod and reel.
Okay, and then the other question I've got for you now, because I'm picturing, I'm standing in the stream, I'm facing against the flow of the current, I'm casting upstream, at some point in time my bait's going to come past me, am I right?
As it's coming down, you're slowly picking up the slack line.
Okay.
So while it's drifting down towards you, you're reeling very slowly just to take up your slack line. If you've got too much slack line when the fish bites and you set the hook, you're not going to get a proper hook set because of the slack line in a water or too big a bow of line. So what you want to do is, as the current's bringing your fly towards you, or even past you, then you're just picking up your, and you're just reeling very slowly to take up the slack line.
Interesting.
It's actually a technique that you've got to master, I suppose, with the
If you're riding slack, Lukman, your chances are much less than it.
Yeah, you'll get a bite, but just setting the hook may be a problem, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because your line is already too slack.
Sure, 100%.
Lukman, anything happening? Karpas, a lot of guys are still sending pictures of karpas, but nobody's telling us where they're catching them. Any idea?
Yeah, it's all your popular, like, you got Mariko Dam in the northwest province has been producing the best and the biggest fish at the moment.
Mm.
Then there's that the old Klip Voor, or what is now called Borokalalo Nature Reserve.
Mm.
There have been some very good catches. And you've got Arabi, which is now called a Flag Bishelo Dam. And then Loskop also has started. So all your popular karpa destinations or dams are starting to produce the fish.
Lulukman, sorry man, Arabi, you said it's called now the?
Flag Bishelo.
Oh, it changed the name.
Yeah, it's been a while, but everybody just knows it as Arabi.
Okay, that is interesting to know. How's the water level?
Yeah.
I didn't monitor, I haven't checked on the hydrological services homepage on the Department of Water Affairs. But when I last saw it, I think it was, Arabi was sitting around the 58 or 60%. Same as Loskop's also sitting there around about 58 or 60%.
And another thing, Lukman, although people are showing some decent photographs of karpa, but I don't know, wherever I've spoken to so far, when you ask them on the day, how was it? They'll tell you, no, we caught 5, we caught 10, we caught 15. Nothing much. I mean, in your karpa, it's not unlike your bass fishing where you're going to catch 10 and 15 and you're going to say, listen, I had an excellent day, I had a good day of fishing. It's going to be much more than that for you to actually say, I had a decent day of fishing. But none of them so far have I heard saying actually more than 20 in the day, I would say. So although, yes, people are saying they are catching karpa, but I don't know, unless I haven't met the professionals yet.
We had one or two guys mentioned that they caught around about 34 the day at Mariko and at this Porokalalo. So, yeah, there are people that are catching the numbers. I suppose it's on the day where you are in the spot. You know, karpa fishing, the crucial thing is your spot that you're fishing, especially if you're fishing from the side, because you're limited to movement and areas you can move to from the side.
Mm.
When you're fishing off the side, so the spot is crucial. If you get a good spot, yeah, you can hit even 100 blues a day. But if you're not sitting in the right place or where those fish are comfortable, you know, where they hang around, it's going to be difficult for you to get the numbers.
What's your take on creating a feeding spot for the karpa? And if it's advisable, sort of what would you use?
There's difference of opinion as to whether it's a good thing or bad thing. Now, the thing it does definitely bring is lots of fish to your area, but then it's a mixture, and first of all, the first fish they're downing is your small fish.
Okay.
Anything, you know, from fingerlings up to your hand-sized fish. So that's it. Then what a lot of guys have found out, they're just casting beyond where your feeding spot is. So you'll put your, for example, you put your feeding spot about 10 meters away, but your actual fishing takes place about 15 meters, so another 5 or 10 meters past where you fed, because that's where the big fish are obviously sitting or hanging around, just behind all the school of small fish. There's different types of feeds you can use. The most common is the Maruk or Mavov, as they call it, is the extract after they make home beer or home brew. It's the leftover stuff that's left behind. I think the main product there is sorghum. It's actually sorghum that they use. And then you got molasses blocks, which also works very well. In the shop, we keep also what we call a beer's block. It's actually a lick that cattle farmers use to supplement the cattle, you know, as a feeding for the cattle, a feeding supplement. So that beer's block works very well as well. I remember years ago we used it at Molateri with great, great effect. So, yeah, you got your Maruk, you got your beer's block. And also just, if you take standard millibomb that they use for carp and make it into little balls and throw it out, that also works. And very common also is they would mix that Maruk into your millibomb. So you take your normal carp, like your supercast standard millibomb, you mix your Maruk into that and use that as your feeding stuff. And doing that does definitely bring fish, but some people don't like it because it brings a lot of small fish to the area.
Again, I think Luqman, like you said, people that perhaps don't like it, saying bring small fish. That's another thing that I think you pick up with experience, or you notice that it depends when to throw it as well. Sometimes on the day itself, like you say, it attracts the smaller fish, or for that first few hours it attracts the smaller fish, especially with that beer slack that you're saying about, which is quite hard. So generally people would say you go 2 or 3 days before time, and then you actually feed the area.
Yeah, that's actually, you know, Zimbabwe and in Zambia, especially on Lake Kariba, that's the way they feed to get those niloticus, and it's done like 3-4 days before, like you mentioned. And that works very well. So probably on your first or second day, there's all those small fish. But eventually the big fish do then get a chance to come in and start and feed. And that's when, if you're there, that's when you really have a good run, as they say.
Luqman, the shop, how's business going at the moment?
Sugar Amla, not as good and busy as previous years, but we noticed definitely a pickup in the amount of feed coming through, all going to various destinations for the holiday. And like you guys were talking about, you know, most destinations do have some sort of fishing, so everybody's coming in, grabbing bits and pieces for the different areas they're going to fish. Plenty still sticking around, you know, a lot of people that are tight with money are just sticking around to the Vaal Dam, Vaal River, just your local areas. But there's a good few that are heading off to the various coastal destinations like Mozambique or the Natal North or South Coast. And the good news is the fishing is good on the coast, but mainly from the boats at the moment. We've had some very good reports of Durban and of Mozambique, guys catching lots of Dorado at the moment. So even if you're in the Durban area and you want to have some fun, I would rather suggest you charter a boat and go and catch some game fish like Dorado and tuna, or even maybe the odd sailfish may come along.
Lukman, what about abroad, or rather across the borders, any news?
Not plenty at the moment. You know, they also, just as the rainfall is also there in dire straits at the moment, you know, the river systems are a lot lower, especially the Zambezi. And what's happening is, because it's so low, netting is taking place left, right, and center, you know, and lots of netting taking place because it's low. And that has a definite and direct impact on your fishing. So people have went out, but fishing wasn't as good as it normally is, purely because of the level of the dams and rivers as well, that side. We did have some very good reports out of Letsibogo. One of the guys that's a tour guide that operates there, last week he got a 6 kilo, and lots between the 4 and 5 kilo also caught. So yeah, the fishing at Letsibogo this time of the year is always good. If you want to get numbers, this is the time to go. But the only problem is it gets very hot. Some brothers were saying, you know, you can't fish between, let's say, 11 and 3 o'clock because of the heat. So definitely a destination to go if you still want to catch. But remember that it closes on the 31st of December, or 1st of January, put it that way. It does close for a whole month. So if you want to go, you still got probably 2 or 3 weeks to go and fish it and get some good quality fish.
Lukman, your side, and of course, like we said, it is the busy period now going to December, but once things quiet down, besides local, anywhere abroad that you had plans for, Lukman?
Not immediately, but inshallah, we'll see. As soon as, like you said, the rush is over and we get a breather, then we can decide.
Are you going to Oman?
Inshallah, one.
For GTs?
Inshallah, one day the desire is.
Lukman, any final message for our listeners? I think we're getting used to listening to your advisors, mashallah, before you leave. It's holiday coming up now.
First of all, just as a reminder, you know, we have planned for those serious fishermen that work as well, that we've decided to extend the trading hours on Saturdays until 2 will be open. And for the next 2 Sundays as well, from about 8:30 to 12:30, the Poison store, the Four-Way store, and the Rustenburg store will be open for a few hours extra, so that those that are working or want to come after working hours can also come through and grab whatever they need for their respective fishing trip. As far as tips, is mainly just remain safe on the roads. You know, the roads are very dangerous at the moment. Try and leave very early wherever you're going. You know, so if you leave very early, like either Fajr or before Fajr, and make Fajr on the road somewhere, it's a quieter time. I've noticed traveling that time of the day, it's very good. The roads are quiet. It's also cool. It's not so hot, you know, with the heat that we've been having. If you travel late in the day, you're uncomfortable, the children are uncomfortable and crabby. So I would definitely advise that people just take it easy on the road. And if you are traveling anywhere, just try and travel or leave early in the morning if possible, so that you reach your destination quickly and the roads are not so busy.
Lukman, Jazakumullah once again for your time. Allah Rabbul Izzah reward you, inshallah.
That was Lukman Mia of Solis Angler's Corner.
Good point he made at the ending. You know, this we don't really realize, but when he said that, travel early in the morning. Because especially with kids, Aril, they become crabby, they start traveling in the car.
Yeah.
And you know, you also then start becoming irritated and agitated, like, okay, I just want to get to my destination, like, now get done with it now, what this light is, you know.
I think it's a good thing. I think next week, inshallah, we will come up with some games that you can play with children in the car. I know we like to play the number plate game.
We'll give you the apps.
No apps. They must watch the road. You know how many times you're traveling and your kids are going to this destination and they don't even take cognizance. Like, I know that there's this one mountain particularly it stands out when you're coming just after Harrismith. And my kids always say it looks like a cake and a giant took a bite out of it. I don't know if you know which one I'm talking about.
No.
Now, from the one angle, it looks like
a house. I know the volcano mountain that also talks about all of
that. I remember when I was a kid, I used to always say, because we used to travel the old roads, remember?
Sure, yes.
And then I used to say, we're going to Newcastle. Then I used to ask my mommy, okay, so where's the castle? When can we go see the castle?
Yes.
And then everybody used to stop at the masjid there, and there was this pond. And I was talking to my wife the other night, and she said they used to do the exact same thing. So I wonder who else used to do that. Where you go to the masjid, I think it was either Ladysmith or Newcastle.
Yes.
And that pond had goldfish. It's just like ordinary pond, but it was like, wow, you know, you're on holiday. Nowadays, everybody would stop, like, maybe at that Bergview. I know my kids, and then they go play on the trampoline.
Yes.
So it's those memories.
It's right that you say those games, whether it's number plate games, whether it's counting how many vehicles there is on the road in terms of make or model. Looking at the clouds and making shapes out of it, all these things, it keeps them going. But like Luqman said, once it gets too hot, they start becoming irritated in the car. So perhaps after Fajr, or actually before Fajr, you leave, get to a garage, read your Fajr namaz, have a nice good breakfast day, and carry on from there.
Hungry. No, I totally agree with taking time out from your trip. And maybe that's what listeners can call us and tell us about your trip, the journey.
Another thing, I don't know, for some reason, Adil, you know, if you're going out to Durban, right? Generally, this is the norm. Adil, so what time you leaving? 4 o'clock. How long it took you? Was amazing in 3.5 hours. You're going on a holiday.
Yeah.
Why are you chasing to say, "Hey, boss, I made it in 3.5 hours. I make it in 4 hours, or I make it in 7 hours. You are on a holiday already. You already start from when you leave home. That's when your journey starts. I mean, you musafir already from you leave the boundaries of your town. So you're already on a holiday. Yes, like I say, I mean, if it's a business trip you're going for conference, you're going for work. Understood, I mean, sometimes you're rushing to get to the place, sometimes you're rushing to get back. But here you're going with your family, you're going on a holiday. When you come back, who do you have to prove to say, "Boss, I made it in 3 hours, or I made it in 4 hours, or I made it in 7 hours? There's nothing to prove. Like you're saying, stop by the pond, stop by the garage, give yourself a few minutes. It keeps you refreshed as well. Mentally and physically, as a driver, it keeps you refreshed as well to get you to the end of your destination. Okay, we got Brother Siraj with us on the line. Last week, I don't know if it was last
week. We did interview them a few weeks back.
Yeah,
it was this huge bonanza they were talking about.
The proceeds apparently go to the masjid or something like that.
Yeah, so we'll talk to Siraj and get a little bit more information on that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Brother Siraj, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, Malana.
Okay, Brother Siraj, I don't think we managed speaking to you. We spoke to some of the other guys that were part of the competition. One of them was Ismail Patel. But maybe if you can just tell us more. I know you're one of the main organizers of the competition. If you can just share with the listeners a bit more about the competition, what inspired you guys to do it, and the proceeds go to which masjid as well?
Maulana, the proceeds goes to Masjid Al-Ashiti in Florida on 7th and Janet Street, the corner of 7th and Janet Street. It goes towards maintaining Masjid, paying Imam's fees, Muaddin's fees, and whatever money is needed to be paid monthly. We did it maybe last year or year before last year. I also spoke to you guys, and it's, you know, it's actually a nice thing, because it brings us all together. Another thing is, we are a lot of guys, that Muslim guys, that does fishing. And as youngsters, our kids and everything else, we're hoping to keep them away from all of the troubles that life is in them today. And it's actually a good idea. We raise funds for the masjid. We have yearly, we have a supper or a lunch, but depending, we have a golf day. We're now planning to have a fishing every once a year, and we even spoke to the guys at the competition. Hopefully we can make it twice a year, just to raise funds for the masjid. We had a fantastic time. I don't know about the guys that were fishing. I hope they enjoyed themselves as well. Very small fish came out though, but prizes were still won. Doesn't matter, as long as it was a carp, fish came out.
Who won the competition, Cyril?
First prize was Ismail. Ismail, I'm not sure. Maybe it's like Patel, like you said. He's from Fortsburg in the Plaza Status Jeweler. And second prize was won by... his partner. okay, the first prize was won. He won a 2.67 kilogram cup. The next one was just under that, but very small fish. Manana, quite honestly, you know, I was running up and down and up and down measuring. I can't believe as much fish as they were catching. That is how I was running, one way, left, right, center.
Siraj, you guys were...
I enjoyed it anyway. I was tired by 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. The guys were sending messages. We made a group, as I said. And they sent me... 10 number, there's 10 number. Ah, I was so tired, you can't believe I cooked out 10. I hope there's not some of the guys that was mad with me because maybe I never come and measure up or weigh up, whatever the case may be. But I believe Masjid al-Ashikin as a community, we had a fantastic time. I'm just hoping all fishermen that was there, men and women, they had a great time as well. And looking for the next, and forward to our next competition as well. And I think the proceeds, Manana, was something close to 18,000 rand that we accumulated for the mosque. Alhamdulillah to each and everyone. Allah grant them the best of the dunya in Akhirah as well, inshallah. And we look forward to having them, or the support of each and everyone, for each and every one of our functions anyway, inshallah.
I think the most important thing is at the end of the day that the masjid benefits, inshallah, the proceeds go to the masjid.
100%.
This competition was held at Babarspan, am I right?
No, no, at Deras, at Hartabuespotem.
Oh, at Hartabuespotem?
Yes, Hartabuespotem, the Deras, yes.
Oh, okay, right. How's that area right now?
As far as I'm concerned, we had one last year, like I said, last year or year before last, and lots of people were unhappy to go back there. I don't know why. Some people said that water's green and smelly. I said, you know, my reply to them was, for the past 25, 30 years, Ardabias Dam has been green and smelly, but the fish are coming out. And the specific owner of this place, his name is Bram, is a fantastic human being. I mean, as a Nasara, we went there, we booked this place last year. Like I said, last year or the year before last, we booked the whole place. And normally if you book the place, you are liable to pay. And this man actually, what he did, he took into consideration the amount of people that was there. He charged us only for that. And I mean, this is a Nasara, a non-Muslim. And that is why this year we've decided, let's take it back there. I mean, everybody that was there, they can tell you their place in front of them was clean. This man scraped the whole crown. He removed the hyacinths from the water for us. He made it, he actually closed it off. So based on this, an individual, a non-Muslim, that really, I mean, if I believe, if it was a Muslim owner of them sometimes, the way we are sometimes, you'd say, hey, brother, you booked the whole place, nobody was allowed in, you must pay for everybody else. This man actually took it and he charged us only, okay, for the amount of people was in. So, as a non-Muslim, I thought, felt, what a great guy, we took it back there again. Look, plenty of fish came out. Plenty of babies, not fish actually, but they came out and we had a great time. I don't know what to ask to say, Molana.
Allah grant him Hidayah, inshallah, you know, in that way.
Inshallah.
Siraj, the next time, inshallah, we'll perhaps take you guys a bit earlier, find out more about what's happening, inshallah, on the competition day, and we can get a bit more information. Maybe there could be more participation as well, inshallah. But that's for the next time, inshallah. This time we say Jazakumullah to yourself for being a part of it, for arranging such an event, and for benefiting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ameen.
Once again, Brother Siraj, Jazakumullah for your time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Malana, just one thing before you go. We did try getting hold of you guys. How can I get hold of you guys for the next function that happens or something? how can I go personally to come see somebody?
You can just contact the radio station, inshallah, and ask them for myself or Adil. They'll give you our contact numbers, inshallah, and you can then just call us.
Okay, Jazakallah.
Amen.
Assalamualaikum.
Okay, so something interesting, Adil, but I think we got a call on that, and I just go to the callers first, then we can discuss this issue a bit more, inshallah. We got a sister on that, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Malana Sajad Timol.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Adil will recognize who I am.
He's looking a bit shocked.
Okay,
now he got you.
Yeah.
I want to know if he recognized who's speaking.
Yes, sister, go on and talk, sister.
It's Adil's sister. And I'm really taking advantage of this opportunity that Radio Islam is giving us to view our experiences of our holidays. But I do have a personal motive in it as well, because I want my brother to understand and I want him to hear this very clearly. Quite frankly, past few months or maybe years, I would say, Screaming Reels and Sisinde Survival has basically taken my brother away from us. So I want to remind him of some of the lovely memories we had as children of our holidays, hoping, inshallah ta'ala, that he will, after this, think of giving us some time as family. The one experience I will talk about is the beautiful big Dorado grill that we had in St. Lucia over the charcoal, and the early morning sunrises as we're entering into St. Lucia. It was my daddy's habit whenever we traveled and whenever we went out on holiday, we always left home like about 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. So that wherever we're arriving, we would basically stop just before the sun has risen, read our Fajr Salat, and then enter our destination. And that was the most beautiful memory I have of our holidays with my siblings, with my brothers, and with our whole family, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other beautiful memory I have is of, there was a time when in St. Lucia, the shared run was tremendously, I don't know, it was just booming. And my daddy was, that time he was there with us, and you could only catch 5 shared per rod. And what my father did was, he basically made sure that he got a rod into every single one of our hands. And he made sure, like a big military sergeant on the seashore, that he walked up and down making sure that every one of us was baited and that every one of us got our fair share of 5 shared. And my late sister-in-law, Mehbuba, was that time actually highly expectant. She was basically at the end of her 8th month. And my father made her pick up a rod and catch her 5 shared as well. And she caught her 5 shared, and we were all so proud and happy, and I think we had like a whole shoal of shared that year, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
So these are our beautiful memories that we had together as families, and there was never a holiday that I can remember that we didn't spend together as the whole family, and completely and entirely just a whole fishing trip. There's a whole book of stories that I can say now, and I would like to, but I know that it's a radio station and time is limited. But baby bro, I hope you heard and I hope it hit home.
You're taking my izzat out on air. Yeah, somebody's speaking like I don't care about my family. You forget that I had supper with you now 2 nights ago.
You do care, and that is why I'm saying I'm not blaming you entirely. I'm blaming Screaming Reels and Sixteen Dead Survival. Because ever since you've been involved in these groups and activities or whatever, we don't really get quality time to spend with you.
I think the whole of Radio Islam Land has actually learned a lot about our family, alhamdulillah, from what you said. It's even brought a tear to my eye just thinking about those beautiful memories, inshallah. Let's see.
It's a good thing, Adil, because, you know, we are a family of teachers, and our whole objective is to educate the rest of the world. And our life experiences that we had with our parents and our childhood days is seriously a very good lesson for our youth today, I would say.
Mm.
And even if we do talk about all these experiences, we don't do it with the intention of showing off or anything as such, but to encourage our youth today, to encourage people today that muhabbat, love, understanding, being with the family together and doing things like this together is what, you know, brings about happiness, and it brings about togetherness and love in this world among our family. Today we have families that are totally becoming separated from each other because of small discrepancies like, you know, difficulties of money and, you know, name and status and whatever the case may be. So these small little quality things that we did in our lives, in our days, with our parents, today is valuable. People don't understand that. Yeah.
You know, this is a valuable input, valuable information, but we're going to have to leave it as that, inshallah. JazakAllah for your time. And
keep the breakfast ready. I'm coming later.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You know, another thing I must mention again. Nobody took your name. This is just out of the good memories and things like that. But she never said you caught your five shed.
You know how small I was at that time.
No, but I never heard them
but
saying
I caught
you
my
caught
five
your
shed.
Five shed. I never heard that part of it.
I remember very clearly my father sitting on the deck chair with the bait cut
and
already.
He caught your five shed for you.
You know, you just come with your hook. He puts the bait on and you got to go back and catch. And once you got your five, because the parks board was sitting right there behind. Okay. And alhamdulillah, we managed to catch our fish and we went back home. Like she says, lots of good memories of the fish prize, etc.
It is interesting.
But family is
time. That is the most important thing. And now we're
fishing,
in the December time again.
Fishing brings families together.
It's true.
Very,
very true. We were trying to get hold of Farooq Hassan for this morning, but unfortunately, I know he did say he's on trade. He wouldn't know how
good
or how bad the signal is.
Yeah.
So next week maybe we'll hear a bit more from him. We want to speak to Mullah Junaid Hashim as well. I think last weekend he was out with them on trail as well.
Yeah.
But maybe next weekend we can follow that up, inshallah. But also for our listeners, we want you to share with us your experiences or like Adil Sister called, you know, something interesting. It's
what
interesting
about the
to
journey?
Hear things like
journey
this. The journey.
Yeah.
Speak about the journey. Or like I said, even if you intend going out now, what sort of plans have you made?
Mm.
What sort of plans have you made for your family? In terms of your holiday, whatever it may be. Even if it may be just be a weekend, Adil. Even if it's just for a weekend out, or perhaps you're not going for a holiday, but on a daily basis you perhaps plan to say on a Monday in the week we'll go certain place, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever the case may be. Like yourself, Adil, I know Usama indicating we got one more ad to catch up with, but before that, very quickly, Adil,
tomorrow,
any plans your side?
Yeah, tomorrow we are having a... Well, not we are meaning... The Sisinda team is going to be at in Crosby. I'm basically looking for the advertiser. In Crosby, there is the neighborhood watch is having a fun day. It's like a fete, etc. I've got the advertiser in front of me. Sir Drummond Park in Jamestown Avenue.
Okay.
So tomorrow the whole day they're going to have a fete there. Sir Drummond Park in Jameson Avenue. Obviously, they're collecting funds for their neighborhood watch. This is that in the Crosby area.
Sure.
And obviously, Sisinde is going to be there. We're going to do some sales, and then we'll do some demonstrations as well. So look out for us there in tomorrow, inshallah. And we've got a camp for the 14th to the 16th, that this Monday to Wednesday. We still have a bit of space on our camp. If you're interested, you can give me a call, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah. And once again, jazakumullah for your time. Allah Rabbul Izzah reward you, inshallah. We'll catch up with you next week, Saturday morning.
On Screaming Reels.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mulan Sajati Mawlan, to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners.